We're here to recognise as music to our ears the truth at the very heart of that psalm that we've read together and sung together this morning. And for those of you who've not been around the last few Sundays, we began a series on the psalms that we've called Music to the Ears. As we sing these old hymns, we may not know the tune, but we can get the message, and it can be music to the ears when we're open to listen to what God has to say. And this morning we're in Psalm 136 and relating that to where we are in terms of baptism as well. And I don't know about you, but certainly as I was growing up, I used to hear a phrase quite often. And it was a phrase that I got to say quite often, and you may be the same. All good things must come to an end. Have you ever heard that expression? It's true, isn't it? Certainly, I know it's true, sometimes through personal disappointment. I mean, there were some games that I just didn't want to end. You ever played a game like that you didn't want to end? Yeah, I mean, a Monopoly never ends, but when you're winning, you don't want it to end, do you? There were days in my life, and I'm sure days in your life, when you just didn't want the sun to set on them. And there were friends that you didn't want to lose. And there were experiences that you didn't want to halt. You know, I can say, even as a young person, and this will surprise some of you, there were even sermons that I didn't want to finish. Hey? I'll ask you again that in about an hour's time. But all good things must come to an end. And yet when we read that psalm together, the music to the ears that I hope really comes across loud and clear is that when you look at the Lord who loved us and gave himself for us and understand the truth at the heart of the psalm, that his love endures forever, it's a beautiful thing to know that the one thing that we cannot do without, we never need to do without, because God's love is a love that never ends. And as Faru and Margaret come to be baptized this morning, that's the sense of hope and encouragement and purpose and potential that I want you to realize for the rest of your life on this earth and forever in glory with the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing that the God of gods, verse 2, as we started the psalm off, and the God of heaven, verse 26, as it closes, is the God whose love never comes to an end. It endures forever. Did you count them? 26 times we get the refrain of it. 26 times we get reminded with it. 26 times we're reeled in to the wonder of it. And 26 times we return to the inescapable fact in it. His love endures forever. 26 times. Music to the ears of all who want to know the reason for his love and the results of his love, and praise God as the only proper response to his love, the great Hallel, hallelujah. It's not even mentioned in this psalm, and yet the psalm's called the great Hallel, hallelujah. Praise the Lord 26 times to thank God that of everything else that ends, his love never comes to an end. The beautiful thing, as we put it this morning, in translating that for our ears, as Dolly Parton put it, I will always love you. Or if you prefer, as Whitney Houston sung it, and I will always love you. It's more emphatic, but then that's the psalm. 26 times, his love endures forever. And to think that we can live in the assurance of something that not time, not death, not even eternity can invalidate. Because you see, folks, you know, there are times when you would buy something in a shop that could be quite expensive, or not even in a shop, in a car showroom. You might buy a television or a car or a washing machine. And if you've ever bought something that was expensive like that, then surely the most frightening words to discover, having bought it after a short time, is the warranty has expired. Normally about a day after you want it to be there, don't you? But that's the heart here. And for you, Margaret, and Faru, as you come to be baptized because you've placed your faith and you've put your trust in Jesus to save you, and you're willing to pass through these waters of baptism to picture, and this is what you have to recognize, to picture in your getting into the water, and then you're going under the water, and then you coming up out of the water, just exactly how Jesus Christ has saved you through his own death, burial, and resurrection, then I tell you, it's music to the ears to hear these four words that give us that one central message of Christian hope. His love endures forever. Don't you find that assuring? Aren't you glad that the warranty on that truth never expires? Aren't you blessed to know that of all the things that can come to an end, this can never come to an end? The best of marriages, sadly, can end. The best of friendships might one day finish. The best of people do actually die. And the best of games and careers and dreams can all be over. But God's love endures forever. And we can live in the fulfillment and the promise of that telling, wonderful truth. Four words that speak three significant things. Look at the safety in his love. It's a beautiful thing to behold. His love. I underline it there. His love, God's love, endures forever. It's not my love. It's not your love. It's not anyone else's love that makes us safe and assures us of salvation. For that can be as changeable as the English weather and as unreliable as an England batsman on duty in the West Indies. No, it's his love. God's love, by whom we must be saved, and in whom, having been saved, we can be kept safe. The safety in his love. I mean, we haven't got time, but you follow this farm through in detail, you know, when you get home or in your life groups, and you'll discover that present in the words used here and pictured in the stories that are told here is just what true love, his love, actually is. It's a love of him who is over all, above all, and for all. It's a love of him who is good and gracious and great. It's a love of him who overrules even where he's not invited to rule. Our God is sovereign. And it's a love in whom we were made and saved and given what we could never be good enough, clever enough, or able enough to give to ourselves. That's safety. I grew up at a time where things were talked of as being safe as houses. Any of you remember that expression? Where taking it to the bank was considered a prudent thing to do, and where shaking someone's hand on it was something you genuinely could count on. But it seems today that little can be counted on in this world. Not even Liverpool beating Leicester at home. I mean, how can that not happen? I mean, the only thing that we know for certain in this world is its uncertainty. The only thing that we can know for sure in this world is that nothing is sure in this world. I heard about a lady who was coming out of the hairdressing salon and who bumped into a friend as she came out of the door, and her friend, in seeing this lady, immediately exclaimed, "Wow, Mary, what in the world have you done to your hair? It looks like a wig." Well, Mary said, "Dear," she said, "that's because it is a wig." To which her friend then replied, "Well, you could have fooled me." Well, obviously not. But whether we admit it or not, little is often as it appears to be. So when we're told 26 times in this psalm as music to the ears that his love endures forever, then it's telling us with absolute confidence that whatever else we can't be certain of, whoever else we can't count on, and wherever else we may feel vulnerable, we can, if we choose to, live in the safety of his love. Now, Margaret and Faru, the promise here as you go through the waters of baptism is not that you will face difficult days, not that you won't face them, you will face them. The promise here is that God will keep you safe as you go through them. Because going through difficult times builds the character in us that better displays it for the world to see, so that it can understand the measure of the love of God too, through us, in him, to them. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Yeah, but the Lord keeps us safe. He keeps us safe. But if you want to be safe in the Lord, first you've got to be saved by the Lord. Okay? In the story that we read in that psalm, remember, before God took them through the Red Sea, which is a picture of baptism, first he took them out of Egypt. He had to deliver them from slavery. And then he took them through the Red Sea to give them the promise of the land. Do you see what I'm saying? Baptism doesn't save anybody. Just because you go under the water and you get wet doesn't mean you suddenly come up as a Christian. No. When you go into the waters of baptism, you're actually displaying the fact that you have been saved and you're now living in the safety of the love that's never going to end for you. You've been through that deliverance that God in Christ wants to bless you with this morning? How does he deliver us? The same way he delivered, as the psalm says here, Israel from Egyptian slavery, is the same way he delivers us from personal sin. Through a lamb. A Passover lamb. Now, I don't know about you, but when I reckon that Moses heard how God was going to deliver Israel from Egypt, that it was through a lamb, he probably started humming to himself, "Can you make a new plan, Stan?" I think Paul Simon would immediately come into his mind, don't you? Do you think he probably knew Paul Simon? He might have said, "Can I slip out the back, Jack? Can I get off the bus, Gus? Can you just drop off the Keeley and set us all free? There must be a better way of doing this, God." But the Lord says, no, in his love, that is the plan, Stan, a lamb. But not just any old lamb. For Israel at that time, a lamb that was as good a lamb as you could possibly get a lamb to be. That for 3 days you'd look over that lamb to make sure there was no obvious defect or blemish in it. And then on the day of sacrifice, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that lamb would be sacrificed. And if you wanted the protection and the provision that all the lamb was sacrificed for, you had to apply the blood to the top of the doorposts and to the doorposts either side. Just because the lamb was sacrificed didn't make you safe. It was your application of why the lamb was sacrificed and painting the blood that made you safe. The same way that God delivered Israel out of Egypt through the blood of a lamb, God delivers us out of sin into the safety of knowing him through the blood of a lamb. The Lamb of God, as John declared him at his own baptism, who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb who for 30 years was examined by his own family before he even went into ministry. And then for 3 years in ministry, was constantly looked at and examined by his enemies and his friends and the multitudes to see if there was any fault in him. And then for a few days before he did die, Pilate declared, when the religious leaders had taken their turn, and the civil leaders had taken their turn, and the political leaders had taken their turn to examine this lamb, Pilate declares, "I find no fault in him." And so he hangs upon that cross, sheds his blood upon the cross. If you look at the blood put across the doorpost at the top and either side of the doorpost, that's the shape of the cross. And in the shedding of his blood, is the possibility of our sins forgiven if we apply it to ourselves. If we receive what God wants to give us, we cry out for his forgiveness and say, Lord, thank you that what fell upon you as judgment, a judgment that should have fallen upon me, you took it for me, and I thank you for it. That's why Margaret and Faroo are being baptized, because it's an act of thankfulness to the God who saved them. And in that salvation, you are safe in a love that endures forever. Folks, can I ask you this morning, are you safe in that love that endures forever? Well, look, there's more here than that. It's not just the safety of his love. It's the stability of his love too. Underline the word endures. His love endures. It's a great word. His love, you see, is a love, once we're in the safety and security of knowing that we're saved, that doesn't give up, that doesn't give in, and it never gives out. It is a love that's firm, it is a love that's fixed, and it's a love, as Jill's reminded us, completely faithful. Spurgeon put it this way, though you have changed 1,000 times, he's talking to you and me, he, talking about God, has not changed once. Isn't that great to know? His love endures forever. C.S. Lewis said it like this, though our feelings come and go, God's love for us does not. My love can be up and down. My emotions can be up and down. God's love for you endures. It's constant. It's faithful. It's reliable. And I hope you know the stability of it. And he gives it not because of our good character, but because of his. We can say it not because we deserve it, but because he delights to give it. And we can say it not because we don't fail him, but because we know he won't fail us. Amen? The stability of his love. It's centered in his eternal being. And that should be music to our ears. That this eternal God, who has a love that will endure forever, can outlast any trouble, any hardship, any difficulty, any relationship, any disease that we think we cannot outlast ourselves. Do you know that stability of his love? Well, I tell you, if you do, you'll know that when you feel lost and broken, you're stable in a love that endures forever. When we don't know where to turn, you ever find yourself there? When you don't know where to turn? Look, his love endures forever. When all other loves have failed us, when we have turned our back on him, when we even find it hard to love ourselves, and when we've messed up and we feel the burden of shame and we feel all loved out with nothing more to give, his love endures forever. That's the stability of it. Remember that old hymn, oh love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean's depths its flow may richer, fuller be. Aren't you glad this morning that God's love is not as fickle as your love? I am. That he is faithful. I mean, it's in such contrast to our own, isn't it? You know, in the sports arena, they talk about fair weather fans, don't they? Those people that go out and can support a team when they're doing well, but the moment that team's fortunes turn around, they're completely abandoned. And yet we've got a God that day in and day out, we can wake up in the morning and know for absolute certainty what the happy book of Lamentations breaks cover to deliver us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. They are new, his mercies, every morning. Did you come to hear that this morning? Are you up and down like this? Well, I want you to know the stability of a love that displayed and demonstrated for us supremely in Jesus Christ is one that is true and steady and stable, and one that you can know your own personal safety in. Do you need telling that? I hope you do. But maybe you're here this morning, you've wandered away from God. Well, listen, His love endures forever, so you can come back to God. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're always looking over your shoulder, waiting for the bad things in your life to catch up with you. Well, His love endures forever. And even if we fall, He's ready standing, ready to catch us. Isn't that a comfort to you? That we no longer need be afraid of failure, that we can actually step out in faith and give it a go and just trust the Lord with what we're going to push forward to. The safety in His love, the stability of His love. And then last of all, look at the security in His love that follows. His love endures forever. Isn't that a beautiful word? Forever. Forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. His love endures forever. We who have found our safety in the Passover Lamb and know a stability of a love that can never fail us can now be fully assured that our faith in Christ is certain because His love endures forever. You see, if you're here this morning, you know, and you're not feeling safe and you're not feeling secure, you've got to understand the real hope and encouragement that is here in this truth for you. That eternal security depends on what God has done for us, not on what we have done for Him. That's why Farouk and Margaret are being baptized. Not because they're trying to impress God and get on the winning side with God, but because God has made them victors in Christ and they're already on the winning side with Him. So it's an act of obedience. They're certain of the one they believe in. Jesus put it like this: I give them eternal life. This is the security to the love that is enduring forever. Jesus doesn't say, I sell them eternal life. Jesus doesn't say, I reward them with eternal life. Jesus says, I give them eternal life. If eternal life is not earned by being good, the music to the ears is that it can never be lost by being bad. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? That's why we can be certain. Certain in what? In the security of a love that endures forever. I just find that such a wonderful thing to take to my heart. In God's forever love, we can know right here, right now, eternal life. Now, you may have come in this morning thinking it was hard enough to get up and be about living this morning. But you can leave here this morning, however you felt coming in, and know that you have eternal life. That is the security to His love. After all, Jesus didn't say, I will give them eternal life. Jesus said, I give them eternal life. Eternal life is not something you get when you die. It's something you get when you believe. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Isn't that good to know? Eternal life begins the moment you put your trust in Jesus. And you can live in the safety and security and stability of that now and forever, because it will last as long as His love. Guess what? How long does His love last for? It does. It does. That's the security of it. Some people think that you get eternal life when you die and go to heaven. Look, the truth is, if you don't have eternal life before you die, you're not going to get it after you die. This is the opportunity. You either have it now and forever, or you don't have it at all. If we have eternal life today, but 5 years later we lost it, then folks, whatever you had, it wasn't eternal. That was just a 5-year plan. Eternal life. in Christ, this is for you, Faru and Margaret, as we come to a close, in Christ you are fully known, fully accepted, and fully loved. Because once and for all, Christ gave his life for you. You're going to witness to that and picture that for us in a moment through the waters of baptism. But it was a one-time event that never needs to be repeated, because all the blessing and glory of it comes through that one sacrifice that he gave. Let me finish with this, because some of you will never heard the name Doug Ford. Anybody heard the name Doug Ford? No, I didn't think you would. Is Natty in here? He might have done. Paul might have done. In 1957, Doug Ford won the green jacket at the Masters in America. Yes, I'm talking golf. Don't be put off. You don't need to know anything about the game. When you win the Masters in America, you get given a green jacket and you wear. He won it in 1957. He got invited back every year after 1957 to take part in that competition again. Never ever made the cut. Never ever made the cut. But because he'd won it once, every year he could be involved in it. And because Christ died once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, as a one-off event in history, as our Passover lamb to deliver us from the slavery to sin into the freedom and purpose of the land of his blessing and the land of his glory and the land of his hope and the land of his joy, we can know now and forever, without any degree of uncertainty, the security that is in a love that will last forever. Because it's all down to him and what he's done. And when you trust him for it, he's always going to deliver on the promise. All good things must come to an end. And I'm going to finish now. So even bad things come to an end sometimes. All good things come to an end. But God's love doesn't. And the salvation that he gives to you and allows you to be secure and safe in never will, if, like Margaret and Faru, you come to the Passover lamb hung upon that cross and apply his death, his blood, to your life, so that because he died, you can live. Because he suffered, you can be set free. Because he took what you deserve, you can have all the blessings that you don't. Isn't that a great God? Isn't that a gracious God? Isn't that a good God? His love endures forever. Do you know it? You can't know it if you don't know him. And if you know him, you can't ever not know it, because it's yours as a gift forever from him. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. We're going to sing a song in a moment that gives Faru and Margaret and myself and Florin the opportunity to ready ourselves to go into the water. And maybe somebody would like to go out and get the young children from their classes so they can share the event too. But let's just be quiet for a moment. Let's try and understand that sense of safety and stability and security that God wants us to live with, because his love endures forever. Father, today is a day that Margaret and Faru will remember. It's going to be a good day, and one that in many ways they won't want to come to an end. But Lord, we thank you that this day just pictures a truth that can never ever come to an end. That you, the eternal God, have an enduring love that lasts forever. So Lord, I pray, whoever we are, whatever we've come from, and however vulnerable we may feel, Lord, stabilize us in your love. Save us by your grace. and bring us into that place of safety, of true relationship with you, whereby we can be so secure that we can go and live life to the full and not cower away and feel afraid to live it. Bless again Margaret and Faru as the witness they now give might be a testimony of lives changed here among us too, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.